Hello, Capital Region. This is the Hudson Mohawk Magazine on WOOC 105.3 FM Troy, broadcasting from the Sanctuary for Independent Media. I'm Megan Marone.
And I'm Tatiana Morani. Today we'll hear from WOOC correspondent H. Bosch Jr. He interviewed Trent Griffin of Tech Valley Hospitality Shuttle.
Then we'll feature an interview with Tommy Weddington about the history of civil rights.
Earlier this week, I interviewed Steve Pierce about the ongoing effort to put more local programming like WOOC on the air in the Capital Region.
And later on, we'll be featuring youth from Troy's ALP School 12 talking about resolutions for 2018. And then we'll have an environment and community news update from WOOC youth intern Trayvon Votrin.
Nassau Supervisor David Fleming spoke at the Rensselaer County Legislature meeting on Wednesday in support of a pending county law to allegedly protect groundwater from a suspected carcinogen around the Dewey Lofell Landfill Superfund. Environmental experts, however, have questioned whether the law makes sense and would perhaps force the closure of a toxic treatment plant for the site. Dewey Lofell was named a federal Superfund site in 2011. From 1952 until 1968, an estimated 46,000 tons of toxic industrial waste were dumped into the landfill by General Electric and the SI Group and others. The county legislature approved the law in December. The ongoing county executive did not sign it, leaving its fate to the new executive, Steve McLaughlin.
The Wandering Dog of Food Truck won a ruling in federal court on Wednesday against the long-term effort by the Cuomo administration to block them from selling at the Empire State Plaza. The Cuomo administration had contended that the name Doggo was a slur against Italians. Andrea Loguidici, one of the owners, argued that it was nothing more than a tribute to her ancestors, laborers who were paid, quote, as the day goes.
Congressional leaders and the Trump administration met Wednesday to negotiate the fate of 800,000 or so Dreamers who were brought to the United States as children by their families illegally. The status of the Dreamers has been tied to the pending shutdown of the federal government on January 19th, unless a new federal spending bill is approved. About 40,000 Dreamers live in New York State in return for a DACA extension. Trump has, or is, demanding not only construction of his U.S.-Mexico border wall, but an end to the visa lottery and, quote-unquote, chain migration. The practice of letting relatives of foreign-born U.S. citizens and green card holders.
The Capital District is being hit by a bomb cyclone this weekend, bringing snow with it, as well as probably the coldest temperatures this winter so far. A winter weather advisory is in effect until Friday morning, with 3 to 8 inches of snow, winds blowing as fast as 40 miles per hour, and an accompanying wind chill, which ranges from 15 to 35 degrees below zero. The coldest will be Friday night and Saturday morning after the storm has passed.
Longtime county legislator Mike Stammel has chosen Tuesday night to serve as the next chairman of the Rensselaer County Legislature. Stammel is a Republican who has represented the city of Rensselaer since 2001.
Former Erie County Executive Joel Gembra confirmed Wednesday he is seeking the Republican nomination for governor. One issue that he wants to promote is campaign finance reform, saying the cost to run for office is obscene. Gembra criticized Cuomo's State of the State address for doing nothing to reduce the cost of government. The leading contender for the Republican nomination dropped out earlier this week.
On Wednesday, Governor Cuomo threatened to cut state funding to local communities if they do not improve their performance on homelessness. Cuomo seemed to be taking aim at New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, since the city's homeless shelter population swelled to a record high of 62,963 in October of 2017. According to the Coalition for the Homeless, the number of people living in city streets climbed to 3,892 last year, which is a 39% spike over the 2016 rate. Yet Cuomo has failed to raise the public assistance shelter allowance to reflect the actual cost of housing and has done little to strengthen rent control laws since becoming governor.
The Times Union reports that all charges have been dropped against Justin Mann, one of the men accused of slaying four people in a Lansingburg apartment. He will, however, remain in jail in Troy as prosecutors consider new charges against him. An attorney for Mann's co-defendant, James White, said that legal questions had been raised about the evidence used to support the initial murder charges that police filed against Mann on Saturday. The district attorney said authorities do not expect to pursue the original charges, first and second degree murder, filed against either man. A memorial service is scheduled for 1:30 p.m. Saturday in Troy Middle School's auditorium for the Myers family, the victims of this crime, and the two children who were involved.
I don't like it whenever they say that there's going to be a 3 to 8 inches of snow. I feel like 3 inches of snow is just not at all the same as 8 inches of snow. It's very different. Three is like, ooh, whoa. Eight is like, oh my gosh.
And is this because you moved to upstate New York that you feel this way?
This is true. I am new to snow. I grew up in Arkansas, but still, I feel like 3 and 8 are not in the same ballpark. Like, you can't just throw that out there as if that's like a decent guesstimation of snow.
We should try to wrangle some solid numbers for you on this.
I think the newscasters got to do a better job. But for those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to WOOC's Hudson Mohawk Magazine on 105.3 FM.
To learn more about this program and how to support the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
And first up on our show, as part of an ongoing series on entrepreneurship in the area, WOOC correspondent H. Botch Jr. interviewed Trent Griffin, who is the owner of Tech Valley Hospitality Shuttle.
One, ready? Hey, today we have our special guest, Trent Braff of Tech Valley Hospitality Shuttle. Thanks so much for stopping by, brother.
Well, thank you for having me.
Hey, much appreciated. I know we've been playing phone tag for a while, and you know, things have been going crazy with your schedule and mine, but we finally connected, and I'm really looking forward to it. So let me dig right in, and as I always say, let's make it do what it do.
Make it do what it do.
All right. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Trent.
I was born and raised in New York City, the Bronx, New York. About the age of 9, my father passed away. When I was at the age of 9, my father passed away. Mm-hmm. And me and my mother, we came back up to Albany area because that's where the rest of her family was. Mm-hmm. So growing up, it was me and my mother from 9 on. My mother and my father both dealt with some addiction issues. At a young age, you know, I started to live, like, I stayed with my grandmother and stuff like that a little bit here and there. But then my mother, she fought her demons. She was the first person that I seen who, you know, you could go through some adversity but come out victorious if you really want to.
How about that?
And so that was huge for me to see her do that, come from, I mean, she literally, we moved up here, she in New York City, she had a very good job. Back in the 80s, she was making almost $100,000.
That's big money.
That's big money, you know?
That's especially big money today.
Right, right. Still big money. Yeah, right, 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 right.
I can't
right.
count that high. Right, I don't know about you.
Right, 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 right.
How about you, Jonah? No, yeah, I can't count that high yet. No, want to count that high,
wanna,
but I can't.
That's right, that's right. And so when she came here, she had that, and then once she, you know, went through and fought off her demons, to get a job at that level, it just wasn't happening. So she actually started entry-level work in Saratoga, and she worked her way all the way up to, I believe it was like a vice president or something similar to a company in Saratoga. And, you know, I'd seen her buy her first house. I seen, you know, us go from just literally climbing all the way back up. And subconsciously to me, I guess that was what kind of been my inspiration and showed me that, you know, you could go through some adversity in life, but at the end of the day, if you want to work, if you want it bad enough, you could go get it.
Right. Which leads me to how and why did you start your company?
So I started my company because when I had a little situation that I fell into myself where I got incarcerated selling drugs at a young age. Around 19, I got incarcerated. I got a 4 to 12 year sentence. Off the 4 to 12 years, I did about 3 years in prison. When I came home, I, just like my mother, I had to start. Well, actually, a little bit difficult was I couldn't get a job. Everyone kept turning me down because of the felony. So I worked temp agencies for a good 6 months, I would say, that 6 to 8 months. And then I ended up getting a job in the hotel, a Marriott in East Greenbush. Mm-hmm. Started me off as a houseman. It was a part-time job. Did that for about another 6 months. I was so happy just to get a real job at that point, but, you know.
Right. And, to get a check.
Correct.
And I'm sure parole was on your back.
Parole was on my back, and just being told no by everyone else, and having to do temp work for such a long period of time.
How long were you down for in prison?
4 to 12 years.
4 to 12? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I got a 4 to 12. I did 3 years off of the 4 to 12.
Okay.
And so once I got into the hotel industry, I ended up going from the East Greenbush Marriott, and I was offered a full-time job at an Albany Marriott. Same position, houseman, but it was now full-time instead of part-time. And from that moment on, that really just, that was the first time I felt like I had a career path, I guess I would say. And one of the girls at the front desk, Rebecca, she was a sweetheart. She would work with me at night and actually show me how to answer the phones. She would show me how to check guests in. And she gave me the drop. She was like, Trent, I'm going to be leaving the hotel soon. And but you know how to do a lot of the stuff already. And so I'm going to tell the GM, you're a good candidate for the front desk position. You should go for it. You got a great personality. And so I said, I'll go for it. And she kept her word. Long story short, I got that position. 6 months later, I went from just being front desk to I was killing the front desk. And I ended up becoming the front desk supervisor. That was the first
entry. You was in beast mode.
Yeah, I was in beast mode. And I never turned it off still. You know? And so I ended up supervisor role. I started to read. That's when I started to read a little bit of books and educate myself on management. And
hear that, folks? He read. He educated himself. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm. And so educated myself on management and decided to be a good manager. You don't just dictate, but you should lead by example. And so that became my motto: leading by example. And within some time after that, I became the operations manager, and from that point on, I wanted to become a GM.
Wow.
And
so we got to get into the good stuff then. So what makes Tech Valley, your company, special?
Well, there's nothing like it, because from becoming a GM, I realized that there was a in Schenectady market, no hotels offered a shuttle service. And so I figured if I could just get the hotels that I had rapports with at that point to sign on board with me, that we would be able to get their guests to and from the airports, to and from the Amtrak, and locally. And so there's no hospitality-based transportation service anywhere around. And so that's what separates us from the masses, is we work with, now we work with about 40 hotels in the capital region.
Wow. And let me say this, Trent, separated you have, you know, because I just see, when I did a little research, and this is why I said, I got to get this brother in. I see a slew of outstanding mm-hmm. customer reviews online. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about your customer service philosophy?
Yeah. So for us, customer service is everything. Coming from Marriott and having a little bit of that paid corporate training, I realized, you know, it's all about customer service. Customers come first. So for me, you know, and for my team, we go through a very detailed customer service training.
Okay, that's good. Staff development.
Staff development, mm-hmm. definitely. And everyone understands the importance of treating our customers not just as customers, but like family. I tell people, I want you to treat our guests as you would your favorite aunt, your favorite uncle, et cetera, mm-hmm. you know? And
even if it's that uncle that shows up to the family reunion drunk,
right,
you know,
right.
Your uncle nuck-nuck and kissing on everybody's knees, right? And talking stuff and like, come here, girl, sit on my lap. You know Uncle Nuck-Nuck. I was watching you since you was this long young. You were a little something, you know?
But that's right.
You, but you still treat him with love too, right?
That's right. And so we treat all our customers, you know, with the mm-hmm. same level of respect and customer mm-hmm. service that as we would our favorite uncles and aunts and uncles.
Great. So I see this. This is interesting. Tell me a little bit about this. I see you have a lot of corporate sponsorships. What kind of partnerships do you have?
So we, what's man, that mean? We have a bunch of corporate partnerships. So we work with a slew of Marriott's, Hamptons, Hilton's, Super 8's, Quality Inns, Days Inns, but then we also we've transitioned into the corporate world with partnerships with like PIP Incorporated, with GE.
Wow.
We do stuff with Union College.
Word of mouth, basically, or just
A lot of it was word of mouth. A lot of it was from our relationships with the hotels. So mm-hmm. the hotels, general managers and sales teams, they would have groups come into the hotels and then they would, recommend us. And then once, we got the guests with us and they seen the excellent service we provide and the care and the flexibility mm-hmm. we give, okay.
So let me put on my company hat here.
I was going to say, but matter of fact, the reason I was a couple minutes late today was because one of our partnerships, our newest ones with JetBlue, that we
that's all right.
Them,
You're chasing dollars. my motto when I was in business for myself, I used to wake up every morning and I would tell people, if it's $200 out there, $100 got my name on it.
I like that.
Every single day, brother.
Like
and that's the attitude you got to have.
I like
one
that.
Got my name on it. I don't care about the other one. One got H. Bosch Jr.'s name on it.
That's right.
So, all right, what kind of services can you provide to companies?
Man, so on top of, excellent transportation, one thing we really pride ourselves in is connecting. So we connect the dots. So we connect the dots with between hotel guests and restaurants. We connect the dots with corporations and hotel stays also as well. A lot of corporations also, when they have guests coming into the area, they look to dinners, things of that nature. So we try to connect people. We do brewery tours. So our big thing is not only just getting you to a destination, we want to also help you find what your guests are looking for. And hopefully.
Right. Yeah, I saw a little something about that brew crew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how's that working out for you?
The beer bus.
The beer bus,
The beer bus, yeah. The beer bus, it's been going good. So starting in Schenectady, we work with three breweries in Schenectady. Great Flax, Mad Jack's, and... Great Flax, Mad Jack's, and there's one more, Wolf Hollow. And now we're actually, I've been in talks with some breweries in Troy.
Okay.
So I have two already that's committed, and the other one, they're going through a renovation. And then the next step is also to start expanding the order.
So in the spirit of fairness, Trent, you got the beer bus. When you gonna have the Henny Hypnotics bus? Because you know who's gonna be on that bus. Come on now, the Henny and Hypnotic. All right.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice.
You got to throw some flavor to us too now. All right. The Henny and Hypnotic. All right. And have it around income tax time, because everybody gonna be up on the bus.
Showtime.
Yeah, showtime. Yeah. So anyway, moving right along. All right, keep it. let me put it back to business. I know brides are planning their weddings for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Can you provide services for upcoming weddings?
Oh, definitely. We do. This year, we expanded into the wedding industry. That's one of the things we offer the brides. A reliable, trusted brand and service, but for nearly half the cost, if not more than what our competitors are charging. Our motto is, we're not trying to price gouge anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, we're a true shuttle service. So
I like that. True shuttle
service. We're a true shuttle service. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get you from point A to point B, point B to point A. And so with that being said, you're only going to pay for the hours of service and use. We're not like other companies where you get charged for hours where the car is just sitting there. We're not doing that. For us, we can go get another job during that time, and that's where we're going to get our money.
Okay.
So we're not looking to again, price gouge anybody. We're just looking to give the best possible service we can and make it economical.
Good. Well, what I like, when we spoke a little bit over the phone, and I'm a firm believer, too much is given, much is expected.
Definitely.
You told me
Definitely.
You're heavily involved in the community service and giving back.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things have you done, and what can we expect?
Man, so this year, I've done one of the big things for me was, you know, being that I was in prison. When I got out in 2007, my wife and some of my dearest friends up, they could tell you that I always said I'm going to go back to the prison one day and speak and talk. And every day I listen to motivational
tapes
and videos. Mm-hmm. Like, even I like the way you kind of sounded like Les Brown, Baby Boy.
Yeah, right.
That motivates me.
Les got that from me.
There it is. All right. There it is.
All right.
Yep. So I was able to actually go back this year and go to the prison. I was able to go to Hudson Correctional Facility, talk for about 70 of the youth that are incarcerated mm-hmm. there right now, male and female. And that was amazing, man. It was great. They actually invited me back mm-hmm. in April, in which I'll be able to go in there and actually, any gentlemen who are coming home, this one's going to be at Green, who are mm-hmm. coming home within a year.
Right.
I'm going to sit down. We're going to do mock interviews. I'm going to give them points on things they should look forward to in interviews, how mm-hmm. to follow up. So mm-hmm. I'm going to just give them all of the okay. tricks of the trade that I've learned from my experience.
In addition to that, you're going to go in, throw up about 350 with them guns, right? Look like you're still working out.
Yeah,
you
still got to do that, too.
Yeah, right. So you're going to go and bench press about 350 for 10 or 12 times and say, who's next?
Just to show them I still got it.
Right.
Healthy mind,
let
healthy
these young
body,
boys
right?
know, yeah. So but, then let me ask you this then. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to also say, though, we also did a complimentary shuttle service to get people out to the voting polls this year. We've done get backs where we've for like youth build, which is a program in Schenectady to help the youth. We've donated services to get patrons to and from events so that they can raise money.
Good. All right. So there's some other things I want to get before we close up.
Definitely.
What's the best thing that happened to you in 2017?
I woke up every day.
How about that? Yeah. And your eyes open.
That's right.
And you bless somebody.
That's right.
All right.
Gave
right.
back.
I like that.
Back.
I like that. Looking ahead to 2018, what do you want to achieve?
I want to give more. It's become my mission to give. I know when you give, you get at the same mm-hmm. time. And I want to continue to give. I want to continue to help. For 2018, I would like to... I'm really getting into real estate. That's something mm-hmm. I'm definitely getting into. Mm-hmm. I already own some things, but I'm really looking to take it to the next level.
Okay.
So real estate, continue to grow the business, continue to give, and I want to personally work on, you know, just continue to grow and be a better person.
I'm a firm believer, and I know this will continue to happen to you. If you wake up every morning trying to create an epic experience in somebody's life, mm-hmm. your success will continue to skyrocket. I'm a true believer of that.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you.
Now, three more quick questions before we wrap up. How many vehicles do you have?
So right now we have three vehicles. However, I want to get a bus, a 20-passenger bus. And by springtime, I'm definitely going to double what we're at. So by spring, we'll definitely have at least six vehicles, but I hope one of those to be a bus.
All right, and then how many employees?
So right now we have seven people on the team. In our peak season, we had 12.
Full-time or part-time?
Part-time.
You hear that? Do you hear that? This brother came home from being down 10 years.
No,
all right?
No,
3 years. All right, well, 3 years.
You don't give me any more.
3 years. You know, and you know what I'm saying? You know, a setback is only a setup for a comeback.
That's right.
All right?
That's right.
You know, they locked you down like an animal, and you came out like a lion.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
Come on.
That's
you want me to say that again?
You can
they
say
locked
it again.
You down like an animal, and you came out like a lion.
That's right.
You know? So then, this is what I really want to know, and for entrepreneurs or future entrepreneurs listening, all right, how did you get your financing for all of this? Because that's the real $64,000 question.
Well, honestly, I invested in myself. That's what it all came down to.
Your own money, banks?
My own money. Mm-hmm. What I did at probably a couple of years ago when I first was looking to get my first house, I had to, I was sitting on just a couple of dollars,
mm-hmm.
Probably about $10,000. And I owed about $10,000 to debtors. And I said, I made a decision that I was going to spend all my money
on you.
On me.
Invested in you.
That's right. So I started with that. Got my credit together.
Pay yourself first.
That's right. And then through the steps and the gradual kept just climbing the corporate ladder. Of course, with that, my pay increased. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, everyone who knows me knows I could save a dollar. So
look, you saved the D out of a dollar.
That's right. I saved the D out. I like that, out of the dollar. And so, I, you know, saved money, got the credit together, and you know, I bet on myself.
Great. Well, I think we're getting ready to wrap it up, and I'm going to end by saying, until next time, folks, it's about the triple E's: education, empowerment, entrepreneurship. And remember this: don't hear about making a difference. You need to be about making a difference. Mm-hmm. That's it.
All right.
One.
That was Trent Griffin on of Tech Valley Hospitality Shuttle. And for those just tuning in, I'm Tatiana Morani.
And I'm Megan Marone. You're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine on WOOC 105.3 FM, Troy.
To learn more about the Hudson Mohawk Magazine program and to listen online, to do that, you can go to the Sanctuary for Independent Media's website at mediasanctuary.org.
Next, we have the second part of a conversation with local scholar and activist Tommy Weddington, speaking with WOOC correspondent Jonah Moberg about civil rights history.
So as far as these, I think you wanted to talk about maybe some of the people and some of the groups who have been overshadowed by these simplified myths of the civil rights movement. And maybe then we can connect that to things like Black Lives Matter and the Million Hoodies for Justice,
yeah,
and that kind of thing. So what were some behind the scenes of the civil rights march and of the, and maybe of the big heroes that we know of? What, I think maybe you're going to talk about the Organization for Afro-American Unity.
Sure. So there's a question of historiography over, you know, where does the civil rights movement begin and end? So some people kind of put it much earlier, starting in the 1930s. Others put it, you know, centrally in the 1950s and ending in, at the advent of Black Power.
Some people would say that Black Power marks a new era and the end of a civil rights movement.
Yes. So there's the transformation of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, which was one of the big four organizations that people consider to be comprising the bulk of the civil rights movement.
Right.
It became radicalized, and so people kind of mark the leftward tack of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee to be the beginning of the Black Power era. And so that's already kind of one of the kind of glossed over aspects of the Black Power era, is that you not only have multiple organizations, so you have the Revolutionary Action Movement, right, which people don't talk about, right, that existed simultaneously but also inspired the Black Panther Party. You had more leftward leaning version of the Student Nonviolent Coordinated Committee, which was a big figure, and that was Stokely Carmichael, right? And you know, kind of Black Power era comes from a speech of his, that labeling. You have these tendons or kind of connections between pre-existing organizations and kind of what we know as the organizations that name the movement, right? So you mentioned the Million Hoodies for Justice, right? They began in 2012, just after Trayvon Martin was killed by George Zimmerman. That organization, rarely mentioned in popular discussion of Black Lives Matter, right? Or, another example might be BYP 100, Black Youth Project, right? The Black Youth Project formed the BYP 100, which is its more activist wing, in the early 2000s, right? And so these are all Black organizing efforts that preceded Black Lives Matter, but were very much involved in the movement. But, you know, a lot of understanding of Black Lives Matter, discussion of Black Lives Matter, has very little understanding of the way that these kind of preceding organizations function.
Do you think that's because Black Lives Matter was more of a mass movement? Block traffic more often, that kind of thing?
So that's what's also weird about Black Lives Matter, is because I usually kind of, I try to steer away from the phrase Black Lives Matter to describe the entire movement. I think that because it's an organization now, because it was a hashtag, it started out as a hashtag in, excuse me, in 2013, I like to call it the Movement for Black Lives, because you have a bunch of different organizations and a bunch of individuals as well that weren't part of the organization of Black Lives Matter, getting out in the streets and doing direct action. And so you have kind of this widespread upsurge in direct action, be it from, you know, organizations that hadn't really organized for racial issues before even. And I think that that kind of over, that makes it kind of difficult to kind of reclaim the history of activists, Black activist organizations that were doing work in the 2000s, early 2010s.
I see. And that to you mirrors a phenomenon that you see historically as well.
Yeah. It's kind of this, the spectacular, you know, becomes, and the, like I said earlier, there's a political aspect of it. So the, aspects of activism that are convenient, right, for what we want to think America, how we want to think America works, right? The spectacular moments, right? The guns, the Black Panther Party taking guns into the California state legislature, right? Like, those are spectacular moments, but we end up losing, you know, a lot of the kind of more, I guess, mundane aspects of Black activism that kind of inform those moments.
Yeah. Things like the day-to-day sort of like office work that needs to get done, or the community lunches that they give out and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So like Black Panther Party did the, free breakfast program, which was huge. Right. Civil rights movement organizations, had a massive, fundraising operation, right, that worked through local churches in the Southeast in particular, that literally financed and made it so that the civil rights movement could happen, right? Without kind of these more mundane aspects, these movements don't happen. The work that they do isn't nearly as impactful, right? So it's easy to kind of stand up and say, oh, you know, we have these moments where I'm trying to think of a really good one. The mass march in New York, right? New York City, after Eric Garner died, right? We have those moments, right? But kind of coming from that, you have people doing a lot of work around organizing to get, for example, Governor Cuomo's executive order, right? Like there's much more richness there that kind of goes away when you just focus on the big demonstration and kind of take away the day-to-day stuff. Yeah.
Right. And I think that kind of that image of protest and a revolution as this kind of like huge climactic surges, you know, kind of affects the way that people engage politically now too, because I mean, it's kind of like clockwork. After Trump got elected, you see this huge swelling of people showing up to protests.
Yeah.
And then within a few months, they go away.
Yeah. You know. In social movement studies, we call those political opportunities, right? And that's to say, like, there are moments we can say that people will show up and are more energized to do the work, right? But, you know, sometimes that is all it takes, right? Sometimes that is all it takes to create public pressure. Other times it is more of a sustained struggle, right? Thinking about the civil rights movement was actually much more of a sustained struggle over a longer time. Because if you look at it, like, the bus boycotts were a completely different campaign in one city in Birmingham versus, the sit-ins, right. Versus the Freedom Rides, right. Where people came down, largely white students came down from the Northeast, right. Those were completely, spread out and, not disconnected, but independent campaigns. And, those took time and money and resources to plan, and a combination of all of those are what created this social change that we know as civil rights legislation. But to kind of say that, you know, there was this one moment is, you know, just like, and the same thing goes for the Black Panther Party. There were thousands of members across the country. They were in Omaha, they were in Minnesota, you know, they were in Philadelphia. And to kind of say that, you know, the gun protest in California is what did it is just, you know, not true.
Yeah. Well, and beyond being in all over America, they were kind of all over the world too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So I think we're nearing the end of our time here today, but maybe in honor of sort of the point you've been making, could you, for our listeners, maybe name a few people or a few organizations that you think deserve a little bit more attention?
A few organizations that deserve a little bit more attention. I have organizations that I know personally,
Historical.
Sure. And so I think that, definitely checking out the Organization of African Unity. It was spearheaded by Malcolm X in his later years. I think that's definitely something interesting for people to check out if you have time, because it kind of shows an evolution of Malcolm X's thought and strategy and philosophy on activism. What else? I think for a contemporary example, I would say actually these are older friends of mine, but I'm going to give them a shout out. It's called Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle. It's an organization they've been organizing in Baltimore since around 2007, I want to say, late 2010s. And they are, I think, an organization that does really solid work in Baltimore and Maryland overall. Also one that existed, you know, before kind of black activism became in vogue again, but they do a lot of good work. And if you want to see like how contemporary black activism looks, they're definitely a good example to check out. And I think another one, I guess I'll throw in a local favorite, the Brothers. They were activist group in the Black Power era in Albany. And that's super interesting because I think that they have, it kind of shows how Black Power looked in different times and places across the country. And it's a good way of understanding Black Power beyond just, you know, the Black Panther Party.
Thank you so much for being here.
Of course. See you next time.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to WOOC 105.3 FM, and that was Tommy Weddington in what will be an ongoing series on race and resistance in the U.S.
Next, we'll hear from Sanctuary for Independent Media Executive Director Kingpin Steve Pierce about the expanding Hudson Mohawk Media Network.
So, Steve, there's been this crazy cool effort that the Sanctuary and WOC have been pushing for to get new radio stations, new local programming in the Schenectady area and the Albany area. Can you talk about that?
It's been really awesome. This is actually part of an effort that has been going on for many years, mostly without our direct participation. Civil disobedience and then organizing campaign that led to the creation of the low power FM radio service goes back really to the late 1990s. And the work of really thousands of people around the country working together to change federal law about how many radio stations were allowed in a certain market. So many years later, has come to fruition here, where WOOC, which folks are listening to now, came on the air at the end of 2015. And there were several other low-power FM licenses that were applied for at the same time, and construction permits were obtained from the Federal Communications Commission, partner organizations, folks we work with.
I see.
And it was a challenge to figure out. So we decided strategically that because we're a media organization and we more or less know what we're doing, and so we felt that we were capable of putting the radio station on the air, we should put ours on first, and then we would turn to help our partner organizations put theirs on, and then we would work together to program them. And so that's really the excitement of the moment.
It does sound exciting. It sounds really exciting. So outside of these partner organizations that aren't quite up and running yet, are there any other local programming stations in the Capital Region area?
Well, there's another Low Power FM that is on the air. The folks at Grand Street Community Arts in Albany put WCAA on the air earlier this year. And so currently in the Capital Region, there's WCAA, Grand Street Community Arts, and WOOC, which is licensed to Media Alliance, the parent organization that runs the Sanctuary for Independent Media here in Troy.
That's great. I hope that we get more and more and more. I think this effort for local programming is so needed and I think people really appreciate it. So talk about how you guys are going about getting these other stations on the air. Like what's, I guess like you've kind of talked about the beginning steps. So like, what are you doing now?
So the key point is that the licenses were applied for and construction permits were issued. That means that the organizations have the FCC approval to go ahead and construct their radio stations. And once they've done it, you only have a 3-year window in which to do it after the construction permit is authorized. Once you've done it, you can apply for the license. So you know, the FCC basically says, okay, go for it. And then you go for it. And if you don't finish in 3 years, it's actually 2-year-and-a-half permit periods. You can you get one and then get a renewal or an extension, and then you're done. So if you don't get it done by the end of the 3 years, you're finished. You don't get you lose the right to build a station. And in the current media environment, those frequencies will get snapped up very quickly by corporate or religious broadcasters who are just waiting for frequencies to use for satellite retransmission or translators or whatnot.
So when you apply for this licensure, and you do have it set up, are there, like, what reasons would someone have, or what reasons would they have to deny you the license?
There's no reason. If you build the station, it's basically, I mean, there may be reasons, but essentially if you build it the way you said you were going to build it, and you do it successfully, then you get a license to cover the community of license, and you have the license for, maybe 7 years.
Okay.
And it's almost impossible not to get your license renewed. There were a couple of high profile battles during the civil rights period, against, broadcasters that were just resolutely not hiring people of color to work there, and they were not covering issues for people of color. And so there were license challenges, really serious organized license challenges organized against those broadcasters, which were unsuccessful. So it's almost impossible to lose a license once you've gotten it.
So I know that you guys have got the antennas up for one or both of the stations?
So we've been in a pretty intense fundraising campaign, particularly at the year end, where we were trying to raise $30,000 in order to help our partner organizations get these stations on the air. And we, I can say, were successful at raising $32,500. So we exceeded our goal.
What? That's
yep,
crazy.
It's true. It's really just a step. You know, we're basically talking about building 2 new radio stations and staffing them and running them. So, you know, so it's in a way, it's a drop in a bucket. But in another way, it's this incredible achievement because it's the money that's required to get them on the air. Doesn't really matter what they are or what they're doing at first. You just have to be on the air.
And what does this money cover? Is this just the antennas, or is this like equipment? What all is incorporated into this $32,000?
Well, it's basically a very low budget to purchase inexpensive FM transmitters. You need to have an antenna. You need to have coaxial cable. You need to have what's called an emergency alert system receiver. It's part of the emergency broadcast system, which is actually one of the most expensive parts of the whole thing. And then, you know, nuts and bolts, tuners, you know, automation computer, different kinds of things like that. But it's basically a bare bones dorm room refrigerator size rack of equipment that's required to put a station on the air. It doesn't give you a studio. It doesn't give you turntables, microphones, anything like that. It just gives you a transmitter and an antenna and a way to get a basic signal on the air. And then we figured once we did that, once we get the license, we and our partners could work together to figure out the programming. We have some rough ideas. I think a lot of the programming that we're doing here at the Sanctuary, we're going to be offering to our partners, and they're going to be doing programming and offering it to us. So we're going to leverage it's really a great opportunity. The stations are super local. They're 100 watts and generally cover just a fairly concrete area. We cover Troy pretty well and parts of Albany. The Albany station will cover Albany and parts of Troy. The Schenectady station covers Schenectady and Rotterdam. We don't really know what the full coverage is going to be for all of them, but we're going to have capacity on the ground in these three communities that are so closely interrelated and yet in certain ways are sort of disparate. We don't really know what's going on in Schenectady. We don't really know that much about our neighbors in Albany here in Troy. And so we're hoping that we can really build a community through community radio.
That sounds incredible. So are you guys still raising money for this effort?
We're still raising money because the, you know, in the long run, we were talking about needing studios, utility bills, you know, all the things that come with it. But, you know, so it's basically a multi-phase project. I think it's a 3 or 4 phase project. But phase one is complete in terms of the fundraising. We have transmitters and antennas on the air in Schenectady and Albany, and they're being tested now. And things are looking really good in terms of being able to submit the paperwork to the FCC. I think the deadline was the second week of January. So it has been tight. And the weather has been really terrible. That's one of the advantages. My grandfather always said, don't procrastinate. And I never asked him why, but apparently it's because it gets really cold and you don't want to be outside on a tower
in this weather. That's exactly why you don't procrastinate.
Yeah. So things are looking good. And I just want to, you know, thank everybody who contributed. And you know, we'll be updating folks on a regular basis as time goes on. But things are looking really great for getting these other two stations on the air.
And tell people, right before you go, how they can help financially on this effort.
Yep. Well, it's super easy. You just go to the website, mediasanctuary.org, and there's a donate button there. All the revenue that's coming in at this point is being targeted to this community radio project. If folks are interested in the stations, you can go and listen at 106.9 FM in Albany. WOOA is on the air there. And I think the coverage is pretty basic at this point because there's still more work to be done on the antenna and the tower and so forth. But it's there. 106.9 FM Albany. And if you're in the Schenectady area, you could try 98.9 FM and you should hear a signal there. It won't be the same programming that we have on WOOC. At some point, there's going to be some shared programming. At the moment, they're all running their own formats and it's automated, so it's very limited. But at least you get the excitement of a brand new radio station in town.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
That was Executive Director of the Sanctuary for Independent Media, Steve Pierce, discussing his participation in an ongoing forced takeover, not really, in the development of Capital Region Airwaves and an even broader expansion of WOOC.
So next, school resumed this week at Troy's ALP School 12 after a holiday break. Much needed holiday break, I'm sure. WOOC youth correspondent and school 12 student Omarion Skipwith.
Omarion Skipwith, yeah.
I'm so sorry.
I'm just jumping in there because I know Omarion. And he's great, but thank you. Excuse me. Pardon me.
Well, apparently he asked his fellow students about their vision for the unfolding of 2018, and we have a bit of that we're going to play for you guys. So, Steve, there's been this crazy cool effort that the Sanctuary and WOOC have been pushing for to get new radio stations.
1, 2, 3.
Hi, Uncle Marion, and we are live here at School 12 ALP, and I'm sitting here with three fellow members, and I am going to be asking them some questions. So, today, sir, what is your name?
Julio Ramirez.
How old are you?
17.
What grade are you in?
11th.
How will you make the world brighter in 2018?
Keep violence away.
Do you believe in New Year's Revolution?
I don't think so.
What do you hope for in 2018?
To go to college.
What's your name, young lady?
My G's.
How old are you?
14.
What grade are you in?
8th.
How will you make the world brighter in 2018?
Positive vibes.
Do you believe in New Year's Resolution?
No, but if I put my mind to it, then yeah.
What do you hope for in 2018?
Some new friends.
Congratulations. You got some good standards to live up to in 2018. Hi, I am sitting here with Kaylee G's also. She was a little afraid to say her name, so I'm going to just say it for her. And she is 14. She is in the 8th grade. How will you make the world brighter in 2018? She says she will make it brighter in 2018 by doing what's right and not what's wrong. What do you hope for in 2018?
Better grades.
Good job.
Omarion, what do you hope for in 2018?
Some new good friends.
How would you like to make the world a better place in 2018? How are you going to do that?
Keep the drug dealers off the streets.
The end.
That was Omarion Skipwith, who is talking with some friends at Troy's ALP School 12 about their plans for 2018. But now in the studio, you have Trayvon Valtrin. Am I saying your last name right, Trayvon? Welcome, Trey. Happy 2018.
Happy 2018.
How are you?
I'm good. Glad to be here today.
Trey is the youngest intern that the Sanctuary for Independent Media has ever had. He's got a curiosity for exploring the neighborhood. And recently, you decided to create your own newsletter. And you've been writing and printing this newsletter right here at the Sanctuary for Independent Media. So what is the newspaper? What is it called?
The newspaper is called TV News. TV stands for Trayvon Voltron. That's my... Well, TV is my initials. And I decided that the Sanctuary needs a newspaper, not only the radio.
Wow, that's so incredible. Could you describe the content and what type of things are included in the newsletter?
Well, you have your weather in there. You have, like, the main things that are going around in the capital region. You have how Apple apologized for secretly slowing older iPhones. And the new edition, there's going to be activities that, like, are happening in the Capital District that people can go to that don't cost much, like, that are free and...
Mm-hmm.
For the community.
In some ways, it sounds like some of the articles are exposés. For example, even though most of your newsletter is community-focused, locally-focused, you included that thing about Apple, an exposé about how there's this kind of built-in obsolescence to those phones. So have you always been interested in the news? Have you always had a curiosity? Do you tune into the news as a youth in the Capital District?
Well, I used to, like, tune in every day in the morning before I went to school, but then I had, like, a crazy thought that maybe I should make a newspaper, so then I made that dream into reality.
Wow, that's really, really cool, Trey. So who is the newspaper for? What kind of people, are you expecting or hoping even to read your TV news newsletter?
Anybody in the community who wants to know what's happening in their community.
Yeah. How often is it, like, a weekly or, like, a monthly?
It's a weekly.
Wow. And how long have you been doing it?
This was my second. My third one's coming out on Monday.
Do you think you'll recruit people to help you? Do you think you'll recruit other youth in the 5th Ave, 6th Ave, North Central Troy neighborhood to contribute their own news articles and actually to get a team of people to go out and get some scoops to actually find some news? Do you envision that?
If anybody's interested, I sure do need some help, but...
How would they get in contact with you or learn how to, one, read the newspaper or to be involved with producing the newspaper?
They can stop by right here at the Sanctuary on weekdays.
Now, you've been a youth intern with Uptown Summer, so this summer you were out in the Hudson River doing antibiotic resistance water testing. You were on the Solar Sal, the solar boat, exploring energy alternatives on the Hudson. And then right here with WOOC as an intern, you were interviewing Coryell Renee White, an attorney with the environmental activist group Our Children's Trust. So will future editions of TV News include climate and environment updates for the North Central Troy neighborhood?
Well, that is what I'm hoping to include in the newspaper. I would have to do some more research locally, and I might talk about, like, all the pollution that's going around and like how people just litter and just throw trash and think it's nothing.
Yeah, that definitely is. The environment is a huge issue with so many layers. How do you distribute the newsletter? Is it something you get virtually online, or can you pick it up somewhere?
Well, is your question like, how do I get the information, or?
No, how do other people get it, the newsletter?
They can just come by, stop by at the sanctuary and get the newsletter.
Yeah, different members of the sanctuary community have been putting it on tables, community tables here. So do you have any community news, Trey, or are we waiting till next week for that?
Well, I have one event that is coming up in the Capital District.
What's that?
Ice skating at Knickerbocker Arena right here in Lansingburg.
Yeah, people can
solar power.
Go there.
Uh-huh. And solar power on the roof there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can go there, skate. It's pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great thing for your family to do.
Yeah, winter hikes on the rail trail.
Are you a good ice skater, Trey?
Not that much, but that can improve.
Well, we want to congratulate you on developing this idea for TV news, and we're looking forward to you as you develop your journalism skills, your writing skills, your environmental advocacy, and the work that you'll do to really bolster the meaning of the Sanctuary for Independent Media in North Central Troy. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, too. And I'm trying to make my newspaper also available online. So that should be up and running in like the next month or two.
Awesome. We'll definitely be looking for that. Thanks, Trey.
You're welcome.
Well, that concludes our show. But that's really incredible that he's only 11 and is doing a local community newsletter. That's crazy. I'm looking through it right now, folks. And there's a story in here about the quadruple homicide that happened in Troy. And he talked about the apple. And there's a couple other things. It's definitely impressive. Super, super impressive.
Definitely. And we encourage everybody to come by the sanctuary. Every Monday night we have WOOC meetings. So in the face of a lot of the news events of the past month, people have been searching for things to do to help bolster community and connection. There's going to be a poetry reading at the Troy Kitchen on Monday night to bolster the idea of life and community in the face of tragedy. And that will be happening at 7 p.m. at Troy Kitchen. But also we encourage people to come by and join the team, which is an all-volunteer team at WOOC, and to get involved in trying to think of news stories and just to listen to the community about what they would like to hear.
Yeah, if your New Year's resolution is, hey, I want to be more involved in my community, volunteering at the radio station here is a great way to do that, an amazing way to do that. You know, it's easy to see that there is an information issue in our country, and even more extreme on the local level. And so you know it's you can't go wrong with educating the people. But to actually close out the show, we hope that you've enjoyed it. Just to remind you, I'm Tatiana Morani.
And I'm Megan Marone. Remember to tune back in tomorrow and every weekday at 7 a.m., 9 a.m., and 6 p.m. to get your daily dose of local news. You can also get dosed with local news through the Hudson Mohawk Magazine podcast on SoundCloud and on the Facebook page.
Yeah, and just remember, we do hold, like Megan mentioned earlier, we do hold our weekly radio planning meetings every Monday night at 7:07 right here at the Sanctuary for Independent Media. You're welcome. No experience, lots of experience, a little bit of experience. All are welcome. But until next time, folks, thanks for tuning in.